Blog Talk Radio.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Good evening and welcome to this week's episode of Behind the Mask. I'm your host, Ed English. As always, the line is open for questions to call in at 646-200-4071. We also have the chat room open if you want to post a question there for our guests, who tonight are the team behind the Cincinnati Comic Expo. I'd like to welcome Andrew Satterfield and Matt Bredesteggi.
Cool.
Welcome to
Thank
the show,
you,
guys. So just let's touch on how this whole thing came about. Andrew, I know last year was the first annual Cincinnati Comic Expo that you had kind of put together. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what prompted you, what motivated you to do that, and then what kind of things you guys had to do to make it happen.
Well, I mean, I've always been a lifelong comic book fan, and I went to a show in the early 90s with my father and my brothers, and I loved it. But there was never really a show since then. And I've been wanting to put a show on since, you know, about 10 years ago. But another show was announced saying they were going to do a show, and I said, well, I'm not going to step on anybody's toes. And then it was canceled. And then another show was announced. It was canceled. So finally, when the last one was canceled, I just took the ball and I ran with it because I love comic books. I love the medium, and I like to introduce new people to it. And this was the best way that I could see doing it. And Cincinnati is a large enough market to sustain a good quality show. And I think we found that out last year.
Well, and so that was almost 20 years from the time you had gone to that convention, that a drought, till you put on the first one last year?
Yeah, there were some local, you know, couple dealers in a room here and there type of thing, but nothing
okay.
that brought in the guests, the superstars, the big vendors from across the region. Nothing on that scale has happened in about 20 years, I would estimate.
And
I go to a lot of shows around the country, and it always blew my mind why Cincinnati didn't have a show. And I would ask other people, because I was kind of putting feelers out there, and a lot of responses I got was, well, Cincinnati can't have a show. They can't sustain a show. And I said, why do you think that? And it's just, and the typical response was, because they never had one. So to me, that logic didn't fall in, you know,
right.
what I would consider good logic.
Right. I mean, it's a pretty metro market within driving distance of Columbus, Dayton, Indianapolis, Lexington, Louisville, Huntington, Charleston, West Virginia even. I mean, it's really the prime place to have a Comic-Con, if you ask me. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's the wagon wheel. You know, it's right there in the
yeah.
middle. It's got, it just like it's a Walmart, you know, they put a store in and they spear out from it. That's exactly what picture Cincinnati. And north, you got Columbus. West, you got Indianapolis. South, you got Louisville. And you got Lexington. So it's centrally located amongst several other large cities and within an hour and a half driving distance.
Now, tell us a little bit about last year's expo with just kind of touch on where it was, what you guys had to do, how much prep time, those kinds of things to make something like this come to life last year.
It was a task that everybody says the show becomes your life and you don't get to enjoy your own show. And that is what it is. You don't get to enjoy your own show because you have so many things that have to be done that day. You become a machine. You know you have so many things that have to be executed and executed well because, you know, fans have, you know, memories. You know, you got to make sure the ticket people are processed quickly and fastly, get into the show. All the artists are being taken care of. All the vendors are being taken care of. You got a program that's got to be designed in advance of the show. You have programming that has to be created in advance of the show, and you try to come up with good creative programming so people, you know, the last thing you want is the same type of topic everybody has at every show. How do you become a comic book artist? You know, nobody, you know, you every show has a topic like that. We wanted creative topics for people to get engaged and have fun. And I thought we did that well last year.
And I agree.
Because after I brought Matt on board, when I brought Matt on board, I think Matt, I don't know if he realized the scope of what we were getting into.
Did you, Matt?
Not really. You know, I don't have the comic book background as Andrew does and that kind of stuff, or, you know, the graphics arts kind of thing. You know, my thing was, you know, media and getting the word out. And, I, you know, as Andrew said, he's been wanting to have a show for 10 years. And, you know, I told him, I said, you ever do a show, I'll come spread the word. I'll do your press releases. I'll contact the media. I'll do all that kind of stuff. And wouldn't you know it, you know, beginning of last year, he's like, I'm going to do a show this year. And I went, okay, you know, let's do it. So he would get the people together, and I would go out and, you know, notify, you know, people, try to get people to attend, you know, get out there and publicize it.
How much prep time or lead time did you guys really have from the time you made up your mind, Andrew, until the show happened?
I made up my mind in February that I was going to do it. It was February, and the first several months were touching out to a few people. I was already good friends with Alan Bellman through telephone conversations, and I had spoke to Michael Uslan. We kind of made a connection in Chicago, and we trade, you know, a couple email correspondences. So I've already kind of started putting feelers out there, you know. So I have people to call and say, would you come to a show in Cincinnati? And they would say yes, and sure enough, they did. And then once June hit, then it was just it picked up steam, and it picks up steam fast, which we're experiencing right now going into June here now. Is it just every day you're fielding emails, questions. They're just, yeah, so prep time, I would say it's a good 6 months prior to the show.
It was a blur. From June on, it was a blur. Because at that point in time,
I probably
we were,
had 60 phone calls a day of the show.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's why this year we thought we'd try it a little bit earlier, starting at the beginning of the year instead of February. And
still a blur?
Just, well, I mean, you know, you look at this year, for example, and we opened up registration in January, and in the middle of March, we had to shut it down, saying,
oh, wow,
we're booked. We can't take any more artists. We can't take any more vendors. And we knew it was going to fill up, but I don't think we expected it to fill up until, you know, June or July. But this was the middle of March.
Yeah, I thought if we'd filled up by August, that would be good.
Yeah, it's the middle of March.
We're into June, and we're in double-digit wait list now.
Yeah.
Well, now, I know last year, this year you're in a different venue. You're at the Duke Energy Convention Center. Now, I know one of the reasons you guys were doing that is actually to be able to have more exhibitors. And yet, even with that expanded room, you guys filled up in a matter of 2 months?
Yes, it's expanded, but not like to the expense of where we're doubling the size. I mean, we are expanding. We're probably increasing the number of vendors and artists by, you know, 20% maybe around that
okay.
number. But there were some logistic reasons why we had to go where we had to go. And I'm not saying anything. If it would have had rain the day of the show last year, we would have had we could have had a possible issue of where the entrance was, and we could never have changed that. When you can't have high-dollar comic books next to an entrance where there's possible of moisture getting into the room. You know, the lighting wasn't the best. And if you're trying to buy high-dollar comic books or look at art, you really need good lighting. And the lighting, I mean, I had brought in extra lighting and to have set up, and still I didn't think it was adequate enough for a comic book convention to display art and comic books. So there was a few other reasons on top of that as well.
I think the other reason that why we looked at it is we were getting interest from artists and guests that would come to the show, but we didn't know the weight of the interest of fans that wanted to come to the show. And so that's why it was, okay, we've got to start out, you know, somewhat small, somewhat limited, you know, one day, you know, that kind of thing, and see how it does. You know, nobody in their first year, I don't believe, is going to go down to Duke Energy Center and, you know, reserve exhibits hall A, B, and C. you know, because then if only 50 people show up, it's like, ugh. So, you know, we started, you know, somewhat, you know, small or within our means
mm-hmm.
to know that, you know, we can pull it off. And if we can pull it off here, then, you know, we'll know. But with the interest last year, or we even booked up last year, but we didn't fill up, you know, until August or so, that Andrew and I knew, okay, next year we got to go for a bigger venue. We can't be at Cintas Center and Xavier University, at least for the vendors. And then when the people showed up, it was like, now we definitely know we need a bigger venue. And that's why we then looked down at, you know, Duke, because, well, I mean, that's going to be the largest facility you're going to find in the Cincinnati area. And now
we can grow with it.
Yeah, and by forming a partnership with them, I mean, granted, yeah, we're not going to have the big halls there this year, and maybe not next year. But now we're getting a partnership with them, where this year we got 3 rooms. You know, next year we maybe have, you know, an exhibit hall and a couple of rooms, and the year after that we get a couple more rooms. You know, so we can grow, but we can create a partnership with that facility down there, and know that, you know, there isn't going to be anything larger to try to have to move to.
Right. And speaking of the crowd and the room, the talks, the seminars that you guys had set up last year were so well received and well attended. I mean, I can see exactly why you guys were having room issues. I mean, you had you know, Michael Uslan, who's formerly with DC, who is the executive producer of the Batman franchise and is working on several other DC-related titles. You had Alan Bellman, Murphy Anderson, and Russ. I'm skipping on his last name.
Russ Heath.
Heath, yes, thank you. I mean, those guys, three, I'll call them old-timers, you know, from the old school of comic book art, etc., I mean, to hear those guys talk about what it was like back in the day was indeed an incredible experience and one that I will never forget. And so, you know, and I wasn't alone because that room was packed, standing room only, to hear those guys talk. And so with that in mind, you guys have, you know, taken the initiative and I'm sure had more room for what you've got in store for this year. So if you could, maybe give us a little taste, a little glimpse of what's coming down the pike for us in September.
Certainly. First of all, last year, as you said, it was well received, and I was extremely pleased with it. I don't know if it's because we put on good programming or if the people in this region care about the history of comic books. Because every panel was well attended as well. So I don't know if we have a different type of collector base here in Cincinnati compared to other cities. I mean, I've been to panels in other cities. Sometimes you're lucky if you get 5-6 people into a room to listen. Our panels were drawing 75 to 125 people, every one. The last one, the costume contest, was literally out the door, people trying to get a glimpse of what's going on.
Yep.
I'd never seen that before. It was insane. So this year, what we're doing is we're going to a room that's going to be able to hold a capacity of about 180 people, you know, because we're going to need that room. And we're going to put a stage in the front so the people, the participants in the panel, yeah, the panelists and the moderators can be seen and heard from the back row. And the costume contest, people can see what's going on. Now, as far as what type of panels we're going to have this year, I've been thinking about it long and hard, and what we're going to do is I think with the Captain America movie coming out, I think it would only be appropriate to have a Captain America retrospective on it. We got Alan Bellman, who drew Captain America back in the 40s. We got Butch Geist, who is currently drawing issues of Captain America. Mitch is drawing Captain America. Who else we have? The colorist on Captain America. And Steranko is going to be possibly appearing in the panel as well, who is probably one of the greatest Captain America artists from the Silver Age of comics.
Right.
I know he's the greatest Captain America artist from the Silver Age, but maybe the best all-time Captain America artist, period. So we're going to have a Captain America retrospective, and
That's
we're going to
excellent.
Have some treats for people who attend the panel. It's not going to be a typical type of panel. We're looking into video history. We're looking into treats for the fans that attend. It's going to be a fun panel. I want everybody to walk away and say, wow, I learned something. I had a great time. It's something I'll take away forever. What are some of the other panels that we have, Matt?
You had the Chris Henry panel.
Yeah, Chris Henry is a local artist who's actually being in part of a documentary of the life of an artist, from my understanding.
Cool.
From him starting a book to getting it fully completed and into the market. And apparently a TV crew's been coming in, a film crew, filming him as he goes through this process, and they're going to make a whole documentary out of him. And the climax of the documentary is at the expo, where they're going to film his panel presenting to the fans. So
great.
That's something to, if you want to, you know, possibly get into a video, a movie documentary, here's your opportunity to be in a crowd shot. What else is there? We also got Stranko. Stranko's going to have his own panel, which would be a lot of fun. Stranko's just an incredible character, escape artist, drew the first images of Indiana Jones, probably one of the top comic book artists who really a lot of people look to for inspiration in comic books today, as the go-to guy on how to do comic books. So he'll have his own panel as well. We'll have the costume contest. We are going to have the costume contest sponsored by YottaQuest. And this year we'll have cash prizes and a more
sponsored by Up Up. Costume contest
up
is sponsored by Up Up and Away.
Thank you.
YottaQuest
is
sponsoring the game room.
YottaQuest sponsoring the game room. And another panel that we're going to have is comic book trivia, sponsored by Up Up and Away and Mari's Tiny Cove. And that's pretty exciting well for fans.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I thought I heard you mention, that Alan Bellman, who did the, if I'm not mistaken, did the program art for last year's expo, is returning?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Alan Bellman will be returning. He wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, I definitely enjoyed having
the
chance to meet him.
Yeah, last year he says it was the greatest convention he has ever attended. And, you know, that just automatically put him on the re-invite list. So
that's great. And he's an icon in comic history, really. I mean, it's great to have guys like, you know, Jim Steranko and those fellas. But to really have somebody of his caliber from the golden age is just incredible.
That's what we try to do at the expo. We try to bring in a variety of talent. You go to some shows and they skew towards so many modern artists that they kind of leave out the people who got the industry where it is. And unfortunately, the reality is these people aren't going to be here with us much longer. So as long as I'm running this show, I'm going to make sure to reach back into the past and make sure these people get credit where credit is due, and the fans can meet these people and see what it was like and have a casual conversation with them or obtain a piece of art or a signature.
I mean, definitely. Yeah, that's what we want to create, because you yourself, Ed, just talked about that panel room we had last year with Russ Heath, Murphy Anderson, and Alan Bellman. And, you know, where else in a single room could you get a crowd like that together? You know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience for, you know, young people that are never going to see that kind of talent again. And, you know, it's a time for us younger people to show our appreciation to them, you know, as they, you know, unfortunately they can't travel anymore, or, you know, they just can't get out as much as they, you know, want to.
Right.
These artists, I mean, back when they were doing the books, doing the day-to-day task, it was literally a job that didn't pay very well. They didn't have fans coming to them knocking down, you know, wanting autographs, signatures. A lot of the art was just thrown away. And to them being appreciated now, it's like a whole new thing for them. I mean, Alan Bellman, I mean, he gets all this appreciation when back then when he was actually doing the stuff, nobody cared. I mean, they cared about the books and the end product, but I don't think it was people were realizing who were the people behind doing the product. And to him get these accolades now and people coming out and thanking him, it means a lot to him. It keeps him going.
Well, we have a caller here. I'm going to bring them on the air here. Welcome, caller. You're on Behind the Mask with Andrew Satterfield and Matt Bredesteggy.
Hey, Ed.
This is Daniel Frazier of Old World Comics. How you doing?
Hey, welcome back, Daniel.
Hey, Dan.
Oh, I caught you guys just as the show started on Facebook, and I've been listening in, and I actually had a comment and a question for our guest, Andrew and Matt. First of all, my comment is, I've been to, you guys were the first con that we went to for Old World Comics, and by far it's been one of the best, if not the best. You guys set the ceiling really high, and let me express why. I've been to other cons in the past and stuff like that where they say they were comic cons, but they focused on almost everything but comics. You guys not only seem to embrace comic books, you know, for sale, but you also embrace the creators that make comics what they are today and us independents. And you guys just seem to really, really understand and really have a unique grasp on what a comic con should be. My question is, and I'm pretty sure the answer will be yes, can we expect that again this year? And how so? How did that come into your thought process when putting last year's together and this year's?
Well, I'm a comic book fan myself. So it's always going to be the Cincinnati Comic Expo. As the name says, it's a comic expo, an exposition on comic books, comic book artists, and talent. Yes, we do have gaming, but gaming and comics kind of go hand in hand. It always has since the beginning of fandom, I think. So I think it's going to continue to stay that way, and it always will be. Now, don't be surprised down the road you see one guest, you know. But, you know, I don't see the what's, you know, having one guest is going to do, you know, as long as you don't lose your focus and become a show full of B-celebrities and has-beens.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing we said last year was that, you know, these actors and Hollywood types and that kind of stuff, you know, nothing against them, great work, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they wouldn't be in the positions they're in if it wasn't for the comic books or the comic book artists. You know,
right.
Michael Uslan could have still produced other movies, but he wouldn't be, you know, Batman wouldn't be Batman if it wasn't for the comic book. You know,
right.
So we go back to the source. We go back to where it originated from.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are so unique along those lines, and what added to it was so great, and I've been shouting your praises, you know, for ever since then, is the fact that, you know, I went to, you know, school, went to college in Northern Kentucky, and Cincinnati just never had anything like this. And not only did you guys bring it back, you brought it back in such a great way that your focus was so laser pointed on what makes comic books great. You know, even Michael Uslan, you know, the guy's a huge comic book fan. And his son, thanks to you guys, we hooked up with his son, who runs graphically.com, which is a digital comic book distributor, and now Old World Comics is available worldwide digitally. And that wouldn't happen if not for you guys. So, I mean, you guys just really seem to know exactly what the comic book fans really are looking for, and I tell everybody, go to Cincinnati Comic Expo. Go to it.
We appreciate that, Daniel.
I can vouch for Daniel. He sang your praises on my show just a few weeks after the expo last year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we want to be a comic book expo. We're not going to be some show that, I'm putting on a show that I would like to go to. You know, we send out surveys and put feelers out there for what people are interested in, things like that. So we take everything into consideration, but at the end of the day, it is a comic book expo. And that's what it's always going to be about. Like I said, there may be a time where we have one celebrity at the show. That's okay, you know. But don't let you. We're not going to lose our focus.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Daniel, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate you coming on the show again.
Not a problem.
We'll get you guys back on the show here, not too far in the future. At the time, we were on a monthly format. Now we're going weekly, so I have a lot more
Fantastic.
Open spots on the calendar. But,
all right, well, that's great to hear.
One of the things that Daniel said, really, you know, it reminded me of something. There were a lot of connections made because of what you guys did to put that first Comic Expo on in Cincinnati. David Uslan, as he mentioned, from Graphically. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him several times in video and on the show because of that. And my wife's company, which sponsors my show, Readers Entertainment Group, is really doing a work with Graphically. And it's funny because Michael Uslan's wife, David's mother, also has a program about literacy and things of that nature. And they're getting together with them and with the Stan Lee Foundation and a whole bunch of things to put together some public service stuff out there. And that never would have happened if you guys hadn't taken a leap of faith to do what you're doing. And we really appreciate that.
Well, thank
you. We've only got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I don't want to miss the opportunity to let our listeners know where they can get more information. So, Matt, hit us up with all of the all of your widespread online presence.
My purpose in this job? Okay. people should go to CincinnatiComicExpo.com. That is our official website. That's where people can find who's coming, the artists, the vendors, the other media outlets. We put a little bio up there. We put a photo of them, an example of their work. And as of June 15th, people can go to our website. I'm sorry?
I said that's just next week.
Yeah, next week they can go to our website and they can start to buy tickets online. So you'll be able to buy tickets through our website. You'll be able to see who's coming. We'll have we have the parking information up there. If they're coming from out of town, we have hotel information on there. We have everything that you need to know. We're working on putting it up on our website. The costume contest, stuff about the auction. When we start to get auction pieces from our artists, we're going to start putting those online so people can preview them. So they know when they come to the show some of the pieces that will be available for auction that they can then put their money towards. So starting next week, people can start buying tickets. This year, admission is $10. Kids under the age of – what's the age cutoff, Andrew?
10.
10.
The kids under the age of 10 are free, but everybody else is $10. We will also be having a VIP package this year. The VIP package will allow people to come in an hour early before the show begins. So for $50, people can come in at 9 o'clock. They will get an example of they will get a copy of every poster that we have to offer. This year we're going to have 3 poster designs, so people will get all 3 copies of the poster. And we'll have a goodie bag with some other items in there that we'll just fill up with stuff. People that come in at 10 o'clock, they will get one poster. They will be able to select one of the 3 poster designs for themselves. And the show goes until 5:30. So they can go to our website. From our website also, if they want to have information sent to them through Twitter, or they can go through Facebook. We have a link through our Facebook site. We just started up a new Facebook group for all of those that, you know, were a part of Facebook groups over the last couple of months. They were reformatting some of the groups and that kind of stuff, and the old Cincinnati Comic Expo group was one of them. So we started a new group, so we're starting all over with a whole bunch of new fans. So people can go there. We'll put the same information on there that we have on our website. So both of them should be able to mirror each other, and you know, people can go there and check it out.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you guys joining me. For our listeners, thank you all for listening. As always, the show will be available for download usually about an hour or two after the show ends, and you can always check out more at my blog at readersentertainment.com/BTM. Andrew, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time, Matt and Andrew, to share with us about the Cincinnati Comic Expo, and look forward to maybe having you again when we get a little bit closer to September. What do you think?
Oh, I'd love to sit down and go over all the things happening about the show when it gets a little closer. All the great artists and creators and vendors that were coming. Some of these creators we have coming do not come to this area. And this is a rare opportunity to meet some of these people coming.
All right. Well, definitely looking forward to it. I can't wait for tickets to go on sale next week on the 15th so I can get my VIP package for the Cincinnati Comic Expo. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank everybody for listening to Behind the Mask, and have a good night.
Thank you.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.